Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point today is the great, charismatic Joey Stewart. Joey, how are you? Thanks for being here.
Joe, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm doing well and excited to chat with Clark.
I appreciate that. We're excited to have you. You're a guy that I know from a long time ago and have seemingly kept in touch with throughout the years. You're very charismatic and you have a great energy about you. So I'm excited to hear your story.
Much appreciated. I'm excited to share it.
Absolutely. So Joey, tell us a little bit about kind of your background, where you're coming from, what you did maybe, you know, the younger years and up through college. We're both shortly past our college age. So
yeah, unfortunately beyond the college age at this point. So grew up in Strongsville, Ohio. Beautiful little suburb. Went to the Strongsville City School System, met all my friends there. Went to Strongsville High School, graduated in 2017, and then went to Ohio State studying marketing, and then minored in a program called Music Media and Enterprise, which is, you know, like the business side of music and I guess just like media and entertainment and stuff like that. So did that. Graduated in 4 years. Didn't have to take a victory lap, thank
Very
God.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That led me to, you know, kind of falling in love with Columbus, Ohio. So living in Columbus and just trying to figure out where this life is taking me, because I don't know what's going on. But that kind of leads us to where we are today.
Isn't that funny how we're supposed to like go to college to specialize in something, and then it's always like, all right, so now what?
Yeah, it's like, okay, so I did this, but then actually I don't know what I'm doing at all. So
yeah. Like, okay, so I've supposedly mastered the skill, but I don't even know what I'm supposed to do with the skill.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
You know, it's trying to figure out where you're supposed to be with it.
Yeah.
What does this music, how does that come about? Because like marketing, most people have general understanding, I would say. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, do you try and find the intersection between marketing and music at all?
A little bit. Yeah. So it's really interesting, especially recently, the way that the music industry operates. For a long time, it was like in the 70s and 80s, is like if you didn't have a record deal, you weren't going to make it in music or even in entertainment. Like if you don't have an agent, if you're not signed with a label, you're done. Like you're just not going to make it. So we're seeing a shift now into like independent artists, and like everyone's doing their own thing and record labels aren't as important. And if you go viral on TikTok, then, you know, you have a huge shot of getting a fan base and you can do it all yourself. So I think it's cool to try to like mesh, I guess, my marketing background and like kind of knowing the ins and outs of how to, you know, get someone to listen to your music or get someone to follow you on social media and like, you know, try to give them something that is worthwhile for them. And then also, you know, blend it with the artistry of music or entertainment or whatever. So that's kind of where my head was at during college, was just like really getting down to the nitty gritty. And it's like, we're definitely in a transformational stage of marketing and music in general. So yeah, that's kind of where my head was at with that.
Absolutely. Do you still think that that's a relevancy for you?
Yeah. I am in a band right now called Direwolf. Shout out Direwolf. Go check them out. And we released an album at the end of April, I think. And it was the first album that we put out. And then we played a release show for that album 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago in Columbus. Great turnout. A lot of people had a lot of good things to say about it, which was cool. And then we're going to record a new album in August or September or something like that. We got a lot of material we're sitting on. We're playing a lot more shows now. Just kind of getting out of that COVID slump and really trying to, you know, get back on the ground running. So, that's kind of, I guess, the music side of things that I've been doing and, trying to figure out a way to market that band, you know, via TikTok, via social media, and try to, you know, get a bigger following than just Columbus and Cleveland people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Joe, you kind of got two things going on here, right? Like you are almost like the brand manager for
your band.
Yeah.
And then also I hear you kind of talking about like, all right, maybe I could do this for someone else too, or do this for a company.
Yeah.
Do you, the band makes sense, right? And of course the other makes sense too. Do you find that like there's ever some confliction there with your effort? Do you find that like, you have enough time to be able to manage all this?
Yeah, there's definitely kind of fighting each other a little bit. It's like when I was working, like, so I haven't really had like a job in marketing since I was in college.
Sure.
And then I graduated, I was working as a recruiter for a while, and then I started doing the TikTok thing and started doing like contract work and stuff. So, but yeah, like I do think there is a bit of a trade-off. Like if I wanted to do marketing for businesses, it takes away from the stuff that I could be doing for the band and vice versa. So it's definitely a constant juggling act of trying to figure out what I care about more, and but also like what is going to be beneficial long term. So it's for a very anxiety riddled person like I am, it can be tough, but yeah, you know, it's part of the grind of being in your 20s and, you know, just trying to find your path in life and forge out where you're heading. And I just try to sometimes take a step back and be like, wherever I'm being led is the right place for me. So it's just kind of just roll with the punches and we'll get there eventually.
Yeah, you find solace in that because you know you have all the skills and you have all the tools, and if you can find the peace, then you'll just see things clearly to be able to move forward.
Absolutely.
Which is powerful. Mm-hmm. And since you brought it up too, Joey, you do have a significant fan base, for lack of a better word, but a following on TikTok of your own personal self. So you have an acclaim there that you can tout when thinking about doing this for a band or for another company.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
How did you manage that? What was kind of the story for you getting into TikTok and making content, and then also, of course, your success with it?
Yeah. So kind of stumbled into it late. TikTok was like obviously really popular during like the initial lockdowns. Like everyone was like on TikTok all the time. And
my God,
And that's where like I think most of the people who are like wildly famous on there, like they started posting like 2019, 2020. So like they've had a long time to really like build up their brand. And I was never on it. Like I never had it on my phone. I would only see TikToks if people like sent them to me. And then for a long time, my brother was just like, you got to post on TikTok. Like I would post stupid things on my Snapchat story of like me doing like a dumb bit. And my brother was like, you got to post this on TikTok. And I was like, nah, I don't really want to. So, and then October of 2021, I was working a full-time job as a recruiter and just was like, I kind of want to see if I can't, you know, get something going on social media and maybe like change my direction a little bit. So just was like, I'm going to try to post every day. Doesn't always happen, but I try to at least get 5 videos out a week, at least at the beginning, and just was, you know, coming up with stuff at the top of my head, filming it, posting it, see what happens. And then about a month into it, it was like November 12th or something like that. I was watching, I think like a Steelers Sunday night football game, and it was halftime. Yeah. And I had some clothes in the laundry room that I was like, okay, can you hear this siren, by the way? There's a like siren going on.
Minimally.
Okay.
You're very clear. Yeah.
Okay, good. So, I was coming upstairs. I had a thing of laundry to do. So I was like, I'm going to fold it during halftime, blah, blah, blah. I was up here folding it. All my friends were downstairs just hanging out. And, I was seeing all these like acting challenge things that people would post on TikTok. And I was like, huh, that's kind of funny. Like I sometimes cringe at like some of them because they're like a little too serious. And it's like, just kind of like, I don't know, some about it is just off. So like, I wanted to spoof it. So I just like stood right over there, like right outside my bathroom door because the lighting's a little bit better. So I just filmed like this quick improvised TikTok about like an acting challenge where the guy's mad that their mac and cheese got stolen. And I posted it, I think the next day, and then a few days went by, it got like probably like 60 likes. And then one day I was working, and during my lunch break, I went on TikTok and it said I had like 300 comments and like 500 likes, and I went to the video and it was just like blowing up, and I kept checking it throughout my workday. And by the end of that day, it started at probably, when I first checked, it was at like 500 likes. It had 115,000 likes. And I was like, what is going on here? Like, this is just, I just made this video on a whim and uploaded it. And then, so yeah, that kind of became my shtick, I guess, was these dumb acting challenges. And
they're not dumb. They've got some value. Just
yeah. Like, I guess they do have some value. Yeah. Maybe that's, you have a point there. So yeah, just kind of been making those videos, and then, you know, trying to dip my toes in like more like sketch comedy, and just like trying to figure out what works on TikTok. And yeah, grew to 49,700 followers. Cannot get over that 50K hump yet, but we're getting there.
You'll get there.
Yeah, I keep just digging my feet in the ground, and we'll see when we get there. Yeah,
you've accrued 49. I think you'll get to that.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how, like, when you approach that milestone, it does seem like it's even more monumental, or like it's harder than to get those last 300 than it was to get the first 49,000.
Right? It's so weird. Yeah.
How did you come up with this niche? So did you think like? So I knew you liked it. So you're saying, okay, I was seeing these, and that was interesting to you, and then you recorded it on a whim.
Yeah.
How do you make it so that, like, this is my thing now? How do you transition from, I posted this on a whim, to I'm going to hammer this, and this is my stick, and I'm going to dig my feet in, like you mentioned?
Yeah. I think part of that was kind of TikTok, not necessarily forcing my hand, but it really started pushing out, like, whenever I would make an acting challenge video. It would definitely seem to get more engagement. And I think part of that is maybe why it went viral in the first place, is it uses the duet feature on TikTok. So like, it's literally pushing my video out to new people every time someone like makes a video with me.
Yeah.
So it's like the engagement is so high that TikTok's just like, oh, we're going to keep pushing this to the For You page and stuff. So I think it was definitely kind of TikTok like pushing me towards like, these videos work. So if you post these videos, you're probably going to get good engagement. So I think that's initially how I found my shtick there. And then I did feel a little bit trapped though. Cause like I wanted to make other videos too. So like I tried to, you know, post a lot more sketches and then do like maybe one acting challenge a week. And so I'm starting to find a newer audience there, and then kind of I'm trying to blend both audiences together.
Sure.
So yeah, it is tough, dude, because like people like different things, and like some people who like my acting challenges just they do not like the videos that I like actually take time and like I write a script out and stuff like that, and it just doesn't do as well. I'm like, but yeah, you know, it's part of the process and it's part of getting better. So yeah, that's kind of how I fell into that.
It's awesome though. And that's how it starts too. I mean, once you start blending them, like you're going to perfect that too. Just like everything, like the first video you posted, I'm sure the quality, no knock, was a lot different than it is now.
Right.
You know, so yeah. it all varies. And of course that's what time and progress allows us to do.
Definitely. Yeah. And like when I step back and think about it, like I've only been doing this for 8 months, 9 months or something like that. Like I'm still learning a ton about like what I need to do better and stuff like that, and like how to write better and how to make videos more interesting. So I just, you know, when I feel discouraged, I'm just like, just keep going, like just keep kicking, and like you'll figure it out. You'll get better just by doing it. So just keep doing it.
You have 49,000 people that have given you the round of applause too. So that's true. That's kind of nice. You know what I mean? That's a full auditorium. That's what people like. Like, I think people look at this stuff and they say, oh, it's 49,000. Like, okay, like it's a big number, whatever. Like, no, like think about what that looks like.
Right.
You know what I mean? 49,000 people is a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like the Heinz Field's doing all right with 49,000 people in it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's pretty loud in there with 49,000 people. That's for sure.
So that's pretty awesome. Congratulations on that too.
Thanks.
Something I was thinking about with it, Joey, here's my thing with videos and content that I think is tough. How do you validate to yourself that the videos are worthwhile? Or like, how do you instill something that has a deeper meaning? Or how do you instill something where you're like, this at its surface level is good?
That's a great question. I think my main thing is just like, I like when people can just have like a reason to laugh. Like, so like if that means me acting a fool on TikTok and like just being goofy as all get out, and you know, just like when I get a comment and someone's just like LMAO with like six like laughing emojis, I'm just like, I made that person laugh. Like, that's cool. Yeah. So like even if it's like not going stupid viral like my other ones, like it's still like people still like the videos and they still get value out of it. So I think that's part of it, is just like when I see people you know, just resonating with it is a big deal. But that can also start to get a little iffy. Like, I think it has been for me. It gets a little conflated with like, I check to see how many likes the video has, like a lot. And like, I catch myself, I'm like, you got to chill out on that. Like, it doesn't matter how many likes you're getting. It's just like, you're just making the videos. And it's a good creative outlet for me too. It's like another thing, like aside from getting good feedback from people, is just like, it's just a good way for me to express myself and not feel, sure, you know, like everything's trapped in my brain or whatever. Like, I have a way to release my emotions and through comedy or TikTok or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. Anytime that you can evoke a reaction, I think is,
yeah,
that like kind of almost validates whatever that thing is. So for you, like your skits and the sketch comedy and all that, I mean, mm-hmm. like you mentioned, if you can make someone laugh, like that's, you're increasing their happiness. And that's yeah. a powerful tool to have.
Yeah, definitely. It feels good. And like, everyone knows, like when you're out with your friends and like, you're making everyone laugh, like you feel good. Like, you feel good that everyone's having a good time. You're kind of like, you know, running the show a little bit. It's just, it's a fun thing to do. So yeah.
I always struggle with that because I think it's like, so often videos seemingly are just kind of pointless to me. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, what was the point of this? Like, we have such a limited amount of time in general that if you're not causing a reaction, if you're not making someone smile or laugh or think about something deeply, and it's just kind of mm-hmm. like to me, again, I'm just going to put my thoughts out there. Not that anyone asked for them, but like the dancing videos, like someone dancing, like unless you're dancing like Michael Jackson, like I get a lot of those, like people doing like the moonwalk in like a mall or something.
Yeah,
on my For You page.
Yeah,
I must think it's fast because I'm like, how are you doing that? You know what I mean? That's amazing. Yeah. But like, you just do like this little like meh dance, and I'm like, I'm just completely equilibrious with how I felt before watching it and after watching it. That video was pointless to me. And I never want any of the content that I put out there. And I know you're the same, to fall in that like that space where it's just this limbo of eh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's literally the worst reaction you could get from someone, I think, is like the best reactions are, oh, this is great. Like, I feel good about that. And even like when people don't like something, I'm like, okay, like that, I can learn from that. But when I release something and people are just like, eh, it's just like, oh man, I really missed the mark on this. Like, it's just not doing anything for anyone.
Right. Right. No, I'm with you.
And I think too, Joey, part of like making something meaningful is that the fact that you're actually you too. Mm-hmm. It's like you instill yourself into it. And as long as you're authentic like that, then you're going to have that validation feeling for yourself, which, call it selfish or whatever, but it's the truth. Like, if you don't put yourself into it, then you're going to feel like you're just fronting. And if you're fronting something, then that's never going to be sufficient.
Right. Right. And it is like a little scary too, to put yourself out there like that and like try to be authentically yourself. Cause like, I feel like a lot of the times, like, I do care about like what people think of me, which is, you know, kind of, you know, a tough thing to do when you're posting on social media and stuff. But like, I do think it can be a little hard to like, you know, post these videos and like openly try to be funny and possibly fail and like not be good at it. And so it's like, it is a little nerve wracking that way. But I think being honest about who you are and honest about, you know, what you're going for and you know, just being authentically yourself is the only way you can actually, you know, get successful through TikTok or really doing anything, honestly, is you just have to, you know, be yourself, and that you got to just trust that that'll, you know, carry you through all the hard times and the good times.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's really well said.
Yeah.
How do you grapple with the fact that these videos kind of are forever? Like, when you put something out there, it's into eternity it goes. I mean, past you, past me, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. That it's a scary concept for sure. I mean, yeah, that's, I've not really ever thought about it too hard. But yeah, it's kind of cool in one sense. It's just like, oh, these videos are going to outlive us. Like maybe in 2095, and they're going to be like, oh, look at this guy. He posted this video and it's funny, right? Here's an AP test question about it and like why it went viral or like something like that.
That's romantic right there.
I know, right? Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah. But then on the other hand, it's just like, like if I have kids, like they're going to see me like
I think about that too.
Acting a fool or like just as a goofy 23-year-old guy, and they're going to be like, oh man, my weird dad is even weirder than I thought he was. But hey, there's nothing wrong with being weird. That's what I'll instill in my kids, that there's nothing wrong with being weird. So they don't even have that thought.
Yeah, true. They're just going to be like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the appropriate response anyway.
Yeah.
But that part of it's kind of awesome. I'm excited to see where that goes with things. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to worry about weird videos. You could be like Kim K. I mean, I'd be mortified with some of the things that she has on the internet if I had kids, you know?
Yeah.
So again, as long as you keep it good and well, I think you're going to be quite all right with whatever your kids find.
Yeah, exactly. As long as I keep the camera not pointed towards the bed, then I think we'll be in good hands.
Good job there, Joe. That's a great idea out of you. Yeah. I'm always amazed by that kind of stuff. It's like, my God, I'm like, you have kids, but anyway, it's so off the topic. Yeah. The forever aspect is fascinating. And as long as we are committed to doing well, and you're committed to, I think, your audience, and I think whatever you put out there is going to be great for whoever sees it now or in an eon.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah. That's the goal, is just, you know, try to make something that people, like we said, you can relate to and, you know, hopefully get value from, and, you know, that's all we can do. So
absolutely. And so talking more, kind of taking you back here, when we're talking value and you want to put a value out there, you're doing that on TikTok and you're making videos that are causing reactions out of people. Similarly, but in a different field, you're doing that with your music too. So you're in a band, and tell us a little bit about that, and tell us how, like, who does the writing? How does the writing come about? What's your role in the band, aside from being the marketer and the band's brand manager? What is that for you, Joey? And how do you instill, again, your meaning and the goals of your music? How do you put all that out there?
Yeah, I think a big reason why a lot of people listen to music is just, you know, it's an escape. So, you know, just like when we're out playing a show, just like trying to be authentic and putting on the best show, so when people like leave, they're feeling good about themselves, they're happy they showed up. And so yeah, that's a big thing for us. In the band, I am primarily now like the drummer. I sing backup vocals. I'll like offer some insights on some songs. So like my buddy Anthony is the songwriter. It's pretty much his project, and then he recruited a bunch of our friends too, just playing the band with him. So he writes all the music, and he'll send over like voice memos of like this cool idea that he has, and he's like, I just recorded this, let me know what you think, and I'll send him over some thoughts, and then we just kind of keep going. But yeah, he's kind of the main songwriter. And then my buddy Patrick is super musically gifted, as is Anthony, but like both of them work super well, just kind of like bouncing ideas off each other, like really trying to make the song shine in the best way possible. So in terms of the songwriting, I don't play a huge role. I just kind of give some thoughts here and there.
Yeah.
But as the drummer, you know, I just hold it down, and you know, when I'm playing a live show, I try to put on a good show and try to just like make it fun for people to watch. So yeah, that's kind of where my headspace is at, I guess, and just trying to, you know, just give people a good show. Cause something as simple as there's a quote, it's like nothing can change the world more like a good rock show or something. There's like some quote, like a movie or something like that. So it's kind of cliche and cringy, but it's a funny little thing that I think about sometimes, just like, just put on a good show and like it can make someone's night or whatever.
Yeah, especially as the drummer too. I mean, you set the tone. You really do. You set the tone. Yeah. You and probably the main singer, like, you set the tone. You're coming out there. If you come out there flat, everyone's gonna be like, eh.
Yeah.
I mean, even as simply as like, if you're off beat, yeah, you know, everyone's off beat. So
yeah. If you're not holding it down as the drummer, you're not putting on a good show, and you look like you hate being there, people aren't gonna want to watch. They're not gonna want to care about your music. They're not gonna follow you. They're not gonna help you grow as a musician. So yeah, I think it's important. It's an important role. And I always said, like, and this is just, I'm obviously biased opinion here, but I think a great band with a bad drummer is a bad band, but a okay band with a great drummer is a good band. So okay. It's just like, I think having a good drummer, or like just someone who knows their role well, is huge for that kind of thing. So I try to, yeah, I'm a little biased in that view though.
No, it's essential. I feel like a lot of drummers have one of the biggest personalities ever. Like, I think it's a Def Leppard drummer with one arm. Like, yep. What? Like,
yeah.
It's incredible.
And he just goes out there and he just slays every night. He just
absolutely.
Yeah.
Or Trey Cool with Green Day. I mean, that dude is a bundle of personality.
Yeah. Yeah. Just literally lightning in a bottle there. He's just crazy. Yeah.
So that's great. Now, how was that recording of the first album? How did that go? What was that process like? Did you guys ever think when you were forming the band, like, this is what we're going to do? We're going to be putting out albums. We're going to be going on shows. Like, was that kind of the vision?
So the band started a while ago, probably like 4-5 years ago or something like this at this point. And it was just kind of like a side project because it kind of stemmed from another band. So we were all in a different band, but with a couple other people.
Okay.
It just never really got off the ground. It never really worked. And we had a tour planned and the tour just never ended up happening. And so Patrick and Anthony, the two guys I mentioned earlier, were like, well, Anthony was like, I've been writing my own songs. Like, let's just go on the tour and we'll just play my songs. And they're like, okay, cool. So that happened. I wasn't in that band initially because I couldn't make the tour and something or other happened. So they, you know, went through and they existed for a long time. But like the first album we released was the one that came out 2 months ago. So like for a band that's been around for that long, that's a long way to be around without anything on a streaming platform, you know? So, or we had like 2 songs on Spotify, but like now it really seems like things are picking up and like we're actually kind of succeeding in the vision that we had initially. Is like, you know, we're playing a lot of shows, we're writing a lot of music, we're recording a lot of music, releasing a lot of music. Usually the recording process, I think this past album was mostly just Anthony and Patrick on every instrument, because they're both super musically inclined, so they can play pretty much anything.
Okay.
But this next album, we're gonna go up to Boston where Patrick lives and spend like a week there and just record pretty much all the bass, like the foundation tracks, and then we'll build it from there.
Yeah, that's gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
And how did you come up with the title for that first album? I'm always enthralled by that.
Yeah. So it's I'm trying to think of the story. Yeah. So the band's called Direwolf. We had a podcast that we were doing every week, or at least Anthony was producing it. I was like a recurring guest. And it was called the Direwolf podcast, or the Direwolf show. And just like a classic, very straight to the point name. And that podcast kind of stopped happening probably like last summer. And then when he was trying to come up with names for the album, he was just like, let's just, like, the podcast was decently popular. So he's like, let's just name it pretty much the same thing as the podcast and just call it the Direwolf album. And it's just like very straight to the point, like, you know what you're getting.
Okay.
And then the album art was really cool. He found it off this like this website that has like a bunch of like non-copyrighted, non like trademarked, like fair use pictures, and he found this like really cool picture and put like a cool filter on it or whatever. And so yeah, it's just like, it is interesting sometimes, like there's a big story behind a lot of these things, and then sometimes it's as simple as like, let's just call it this because it's a little homage to this podcast that we did for a couple months. Yeah,
that's fun. That's real fun. And do you have any say in any of that, or is that mostly them too, Patrick and Anthony?
It's mostly Anthony there because it's like kind of his brand, but he did come to me and was, you know, going through a bunch of the pictures that he found and was like, which one do you think is cooler? And then we kind of like had a little conversation about that. Nice. And then he ultimately decides.
And do you have an idea for your second album, what that's going to be called when you start recording in August?
I would imagine it's probably going to be called, named after one of the songs, if I had to guess. I think this, the music that he's writing right now is really, 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 really good. Okay. So I think it's got to be named after probably one of the songs, just because the music and the lyrics are both super high quality. And I think there's a lot of good lyrics that he could pull out of a song that he could name as this. What I like what bands do, and I might say this to him, I haven't brought this up to him, but I like when, like, you know, bands name albums after like maybe like the most popular song off that album. But I like when bands name an album after like not a throwaway lyric, but like just a random lyric that's not a song title or anything.
Sure. 'Cause
then like you hear the song and you hear the lyric and you're like, that's the name of the album. That's cool. Yes. It's kind of like, you know, it's one of those things where you just kind of, as a listener, it's a cool thing to be like, oh, that's where they got the name of the album from.
So, I agree. I'm totally with you. I love the creative ones. And the other one are like the ones that are totally not creative, like the self-titled album. I'm always curious how artists pick their own self-titled album.
Yeah.
Like almost every artist has one or band. And it's like, why is this album the self-titled album?
Yeah,
you only get to do it once. So like, when are you going to do it? When do you instill the self-titled album? And it's like, I'm always curious about that too. So either the really simple, or like you said, like the super creative, we're picking out a lyric and then we're going to throw this at you. And when you're listening to the album, you're gonna be like, ah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is interesting kind of the way that all works out. And, you know, it's, I think it all just stems down to like the vision that you have and just like what message you're trying to get across. And I think for that first album, it was just like, we need to release an album. So this album is just going to be called the Direwolf album, because this is the first album and that everyone's been waiting for. So
yeah.
But now I think we're going to get a little creative with it and try to make something cool.
That's great. Do you guys all want to be superstars? Is the superstardom kind of the goal? Do you want to go on tours, like big, you know, big stadium headlining tours kind of thing?
I wouldn't hate it.
You wouldn't hate it. Okay.
But you know, at the same time, I think a part of me is also like, you know, being popular on TikTok and then being in this band where, you know, we're trying to, you know, hopefully the end goal would be to like sustain ourselves and tour off of it and, you know, like make some decent money from it. But like, it would suck to lose a sense of privacy, you know, like everywhere you go, like you are like getting recognized or whatever. So like there is something like that where it's like maybe the superstar thing isn't all that it's made out to be, but I mean, in general, like I would like to be successful in it.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe just like moderately successful where I can live comfortably, but I don't have to go to the Oscars every year, you know. I don't have, you know, that kind of stuff, or like I don't like the red carpet stuff.
Do you think that, just being real with you, do you think the drummer is usually the face that everyone knows?
It's probably one of them, because there's a lot. Generally it would, in that band, it's definitely Anthony, but
okay,
you know, I guess you're right. Maybe I'm coming from a different viewpoint because I am the drummer, so I'm like, yeah, everyone's looking at me. But yeah, usually it is the main guy. So you are right there.
Yeah, I mean, like Steven Tyler walks into a grocery store, everyone's like, oh my God. I don't even know what their drummer looks like.
I don't know.
Being real with you, just saying, dude.
That's actually a very good point. I have no idea what their drummer looks like. And plus Steven Tyler is like probably wearing like 9 scarves. So oh my God, just like, oh, that's Steven Tyler, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like belting out his groceries and stuff.
But yeah, yeah.
But I just was saying, like, cause I get it though. The privacy thing is one thing I think that'd be so frightening for the superstardom. Like you go big and then everything is about that and you have to keep things so private and with the ease of, oh my God, the way information just spreads and stuff.
Yeah, it's like social media, it's just like I feel like you're always under like a microscope too. Mm-hmm. So like you, like especially like you can't mess up. So like it would be pretty stressful. But yeah, I think I'd like to be moderately successful to the point where I could just live comfortably and, you know, just kind of duck out of the spotlight. And yeah.
And you're making music. It's something that you love. That'd be awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. It's such a release too. Again, with like, it's just like all these creative outlets that I have, I'm so grateful for, because like, it's just a way to like release anything that I'm feeling, whether I'm like ecstatic one night or one night I'm feeling down on myself. Like, it's like, if I'm feeling down, I'll turn on the piano, I'll play music. 30 minutes after that, I feel great. Like, I feel better. So yeah, it's definitely, these creative things are very important, at least to me. So yeah.
What all can you play?
I could play the piano. I could play the drums. The drums are my main thing. Mm-hmm. And then I can sing, but it's been a while. I sing backup vocals in the band now. So like, I kind of just like add a little bit of nuance to it. But last night we played a little like solo set. And I sang lead vocals on a song, which is the first time I did that in a long time. So that was frightening, but
that's exciting. Congrats.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely like a weird thing to get back into, because like, as the lead vocalist, like a background vocalist, like I'm just sitting there, I'm singing. And then when I'm not singing, I'm just kind of like chilling, like just like grooving along to the music. But like, as a lead vocalist, like it's your job, like you got to deliver these lines and you got to like put on a little show and stuff. So like, you know, I kind of had to come out of my shell a little bit there, which was, you know, frightening, but it's cool. It's fun.
It is cool. Yeah. Awesome. To again throw it back to a previous thing that we were talking about a little bit, you had mentioned how labels are kind of going by the wayside. And recently I was having that conversation with my mom. I'm like, you know, it's crazy that I was telling her the exact same thing that you had mentioned, like the music industry is changing, that people don't need labels, they don't want labels, and the invasive, restricting limitations that really a label puts on you. Yeah, you're going to be guaranteed the success, but. Mm-hmm. At what cost kind of thing, if you can get that success, like plenty others. Cooper Allen's a country singer who, that's all he did. Like he sold out his tour now just from being a TikTok guy. Mm-hmm. And he's fascinating too. Like if you're unfamiliar, you should check him out just because of his unique talent. He's kind of like a rapper in country music, like kind of. He'll freestyle songs and make him country. So like he did like Colt 45 and made it country, and just things like that. It's very interesting. And his girlfriend, who I think is now his fiance, whatever, maybe his wife, I don't know, but she'd be like, all right, Cooper, she'd be like, I don't know, make this Drake song country, and he would. And so he gained traction, and then he ended up signing himself to his own label, and that was it. You know what I mean? Yeah. You have to have one for I mean, I'm sure for tax purposes, but yeah, that anti-label movement's kind of fascinating. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you guys find yourself kind of thinking that's what you want to do too, is no label, maybe just that autonomy?
Yeah, I think so. We've pretty much sustained ourselves just off of independent everything. Like the album was recorded like at home, like not in a studio, or like not spending money on a studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we released the album just under, I think, I don't even know what it was released under, probably like Direwolf LLC or something like that. I don't really know, but yeah, like definitely trying to go the independent route. Like, I mean, if you get picked up by a label, I mean, it's definitely an exciting thing, but like, I think we would really have to read the fine print and make sure that we're not like being forced to do anything crazy. Like, I know I've heard these stories of like these big artists who like their label won't release one of their new songs until they have like a viral video on like TikTok first or something like that, which is just bonkers. Like, it's like, you're not going to release this person's song just because you don't think it's going to be popular enough yet. Like, you're waiting for like the chit chat around the song to like get to like, I guess like a fever pitch before you'll release it. It's just, it's kind of weird. So like, I think labels are still doing these like weird tactics, and like, obviously their goal is just to make that release more successful. But at the same time, like, you're really hurting these artists who like just want the song to be out. And like, that's like their pride and joy is just the song. They don't care about, like, obviously they want it to be popular, but like, they just want the song to go out. Like, they make music to release it. They don't make music to, oh, this song might come out, but I haven't gotten a viral video yet, so it's not coming out yet. So yeah, I think there's definitely like a fine print where like you have to know what you're getting yourself into if you go down that road.
Are you referencing Halsey?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it was Halsey. Yeah, it's that's such a ridiculous thing. I don't get it.
Yeah, that was fascinating. That whole story and the way, if just to add on to it a little bit, first of all, a huge Halsey guy. I think she's wicked talented. She is wickedly talented. So like you mentioned, her label is like, yeah, we're not good. The song's called So Good. We're not going to release this song until you have a viral video on TikTok. So, and she's kind of bombastic and a little gaudy in her own right, in a very emo driven way.
Yeah.
And so she's like, all right, like kind of giving the finger to her label, and she makes it go, makes the sound go viral by bashing her label in a video.
Yeah.
And the video went viral, and then she just kept doing it. And like, it's just so funny. They're like, well, that's not what we meant. And she's like, well, it went viral. Like this video.
Yeah.
This video has millions of views and thousands upon thousands of likes. So your sound is now a token for her getting, you know, her slamming her label. And
I mean, the song is
now out there.
As they got to be careful what they ask for. They asked for a viral video. She gave them a viral video.
Yeah,
right?
Several of them. So it's very interesting. Yeah, Halsey. That's a, I found that story interesting. And that's, I think it's like the acme of what we're talking about with labels can be dangerous. I mean, look at Taylor Swift, right?
Yeah.
Acme of dangerous labels and how you get stuck into this rabbit hole of like, there's more to this and there's more and there's more and there's more. And it just is like worse and worse and worse for the artist. And
yeah,
that's, I mean, that's not what it's supposed to be about. So I like it. I'm excited about this autonomy route because I would be very curious. I'm very curious to see a world in music where it's without labels and like letting real artists kind of shine. There are some, you get this feel that the music industry kind of pushes artists. Someone like Lil Durk, no one heard of this guy. Next thing you know, he's on there with Drake. He's on there with Morgan Wallen. Like he's just on with these humongous artists out of nowhere. And you're like, what? Out of left field, here comes Lil Durk. And I'm like, the music industry is like hammering Lil Durk, you know? It's kind of weird how it goes. So I think the self-sustained route is going to be awesome for music.
I agree. And like people talk about like kind of like what Lil Durk is like, they talk about like these industry plants. Like the music industry is literally planting this artist and literally forcing them to be successful just by like how they release their stuff. Like I think like a lot of people think like Lil Nas X was an industry plant, like because just like he was nobody and then this song goes viral and he has like 9,000 remixes of it, and it's just like, it's like, how, where did this come from? Like how do you become this huge and you're on everything in the blink of an eye? So
I think
it's a little weird. Like I don't know, I think it's like I'm obviously happy for these artists who like obviously are experiencing success, but like I like the autonomy of just like people naturally creating a following and naturally, you know, going through the rungs of trying to get popular and get a fan base. So
I agree.
I am interested in seeing where this will all go as we move towards a more independent thing.
Yeah, I love music, so I always think of it kind of like that. I always think of like, you know, a bar down in Nashville, your friggin' band gets up there, you got an hour, you got to hammer it. And hopefully by the grace of God, one of the guys in there is grabbing a drink and listening to music is like, this is the band. Like, I'm going to put my cards on the table for this band.
Yep.
Or whatever. I mean, that's so many rock singers, that's so many country singers, it's so many blues and folk singers' successes that like they're just putting themselves out there and they're putting themselves out there. And like, that's what happens. Nate Smith, up and comer in country music. That was his story. You know, I think of like Jimmy Allen was working 17 to 20 hours a day and he's killing it now. He's killing it. So I hope that that's your story to the level that you want it to be as well.
Like
You guys are staying true to you. And that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
How do you spell Direwolf? How are you spelling this?
Yeah. So it's DIRE WOLF.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Awesome. How did Anthony come up with that name? Do you know?
That name is it's this Grateful Dead song that he liked back in the day. And it's just kind of like a cool name. So he was just like, all right, we're Direwolf. Cool.
It is a cool name. It's a very cool name. How many people are in your band?
It is technically, I believe, four. Okay. We kind of, Anthony Patrick, me, guitarist Danny Mavis, and then also our bassist Zach. So I guess it's like five. It's weird because it's kind of like a rotating group of musicians because everyone kind of lives in different places. So it's just like we pull from people in Columbus if we need a guitarist from Columbus for a Columbus show. So it's kind of rotating, but generally like four or five people are like kind of considered like main members at this point. So and then like the rest we just kind of fill
You gotta have fillers.
Yeah.
I was at a country show last week, and Chase Rice's band got a flat tire.
No way.
Yeah, it was crazy. So he was there. Yeah. And he's like, he comes out and just him and his acoustic, and he's like, so not sure what's up here. He's like, my band's not here. Apparently, I got a flat tire or something, and they're not going to be here. So we're going full acoustic.
Hey, kind of cool. Show goes on, right?
Yeah, show goes on. it's funny. That's exciting, Joey. I love hearing about this band stuff because it's so everyone can relate to the idea of like you have an idea, you have a vision, you dive in on it, and you're going for it. Like that's what it's all about. I mean, like, you have like the American dream kind of mentality that we all kind of have instilled in us. We're like, I have this idea, I want to make it great, and like, how do I get there? And like, you're going for it, you're on that path.
Yeah, right. And I think what's interesting too is like, for some reason, I do feel pressure. Maybe it's just concocted in my own brain, but like, you know, as a 23-year-old guy who graduated from business school, like the standard for people like me is you go and you apply for these jobs and like you work at a job for 5 years and you try to get promoted and then you like, you know, like that's the thing, that's a thing. And but I'm not doing that, so like I do feel pressure that like maybe I'm just, you know, I should give up on these dreams and like go for like a stable like office job or stuff like that. But you know, I don't really try to let myself dwell on that, and I don't buy into that because I do have these big lofty goals. And I think I got to credit Gary V for this, but like, it's just like your 20s, like you should just like fail, like just fail at whatever you're trying to do. Like you're still going to be young when you're 30 and you could still change directions whenever you need to. But until you're 30, at least, like, just, I think you just got to go for whatever you want. And, and you know, if you really are putting in the work, it's, you'll probably find a success in some way. It might not, it's most likely not going to be exactly how you envision it in your brain, but like you will see success if you put in the work and you just keep trying. So
I agree. Are you a big Gary V guy?
I am kind of a big Gary V guy. I really like some things about him, and then other things I'm just like, okay, like I don't really like, I don't understand NFTs or anything, or like I kind of get
thing right now.
Yeah, I don't like, I don't hate them and I don't love them. I'm just kind of like, I don't know what these are. So like, he's a big NFT guy. So I'm like, when I see those videos come up, I'm just like, I'll just scroll past. Cause I'm like, I don't really understand it. But like, I do think he's very motivational in the fact that like he's really, he is trying to get people, you know, off their ass and get up and do something. Like if you want to build something, like you can't just keep talking about building it. Like you just have to do, just like just start doing it and just see what they do. Yeah.
Yeah, put out the video when you're folding your laundry at the halftime of the disgusting Steelers game.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy that like that one thing that I didn't even think twice about, like it's just like the stupid, not stupid, I keep calling it a stupid video, but like a goofy video where I just off the top of my head filmed it, posted it, didn't think twice about it. And that's the video that brings me to where I am now, where like I literally have shifted my focus now to like, oh, this avenue could actually be very fruitful for me if I keep going. And like what Gary V says is just like, just post the video. Like you don't know what's going to happen unless you just post the video. Like if it fails, it fails. But if it, you don't know it's going to fail, it could just take off. So
when we let that guard down and we kind of lean into vulnerability, we see a whole new world of opportunities.
Absolutely.
He's a guy to me that I'm with you. Like he's got some really bad content out there sometimes too. Like the whole getting like shooting the people you love the most in the face. Like, you know, like that stuff's whack. Like that, like, I mean, like I get the point, but like, it's just whack.
It's like pump the brakes, Gary, just a little bit.
A little bit. But I think he is, I hate this phrase, but he actually is unapologetically himself.
Yeah.
Like he is just so true to himself.
Absolutely.
And is not concerned with the views of the masses or anyone really about him. And I think like you had mentioned earlier, sometimes you kind of get wrapped up in that. And I feel like as any content creator, anytime we put stuff out there early on or maybe always, like that should always be our goal, is like not to worry about it, because you know what? I have great intentions with this. I want it to have a great result. This is me. I'm throwing it out there. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And the, so I think he's a great role model for that.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that for sure.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you. We're like, there are some things that he posts where I'm like, I'm not too sure about that, Gary, but yeah, I agree. Like it is, you know, like just like lean into that vulnerability, like you said, and like, you will go places. Like that's, you just got to do that. And if you're just authentically yourself, like he is, I mean, obviously he's wildly successful. So, you know, that's just kind of like motivation to just keep going. Like you never know what will happen.
Who are some of your other influences, Joey? I love asking people this because one of the main focuses on this Chats with Clark podcast is kind of mindsets and how different things or different people influence us. So Gary Vee's one. Who are some of your other influences, whether you know them personally or you don't, mm-hmm. on a big scale, small scale, whatever?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's something that I don't think about too often, but I should, because, you know, it's nice. It's a good way to find out more about myself, like when I think about who actually influences me. So I think my biggest one right now is Bill Hader. I think Bill Hader is just a genius that, like he was on SNL, was just like a goofy guy. Like he was, you know, just a character guy, would do so many impressions, just like really goofy. And then he post SNL, I don't know if you watch his show Barry, but it is incredible. Like it's like a mixture between like a comedy, but also it's like a drama, and it's like super like emotional, and like they touch on some like really important topics. So like I think him like being vulnerable with you know, he's funny, but also like he talks about these very emotional topics, and like really taking on some big ideas. That's a big inspiration to me, and I just think he's just great. And then there's also this comedian named Meg Stalter. I had been following her since like lockdown, and she just posts like these like really goofy videos of these characters that she comes up with that are like just like, I forget the way she describes it, but it's just like these characters who like are odd in some way, but they don't really realize it. And so it's just kind of funny. And yeah. She eventually, like, she just landed a show this past year that I've been watching that's hilarious. It's called Hacks. And then she is producing her like her own show now. So like she's just like, again, like it's these people who are like authentically themselves, who aren't afraid of like failing or aren't afraid of you know, making a fool out of themselves, or like just, you know, being themselves. And they're seeing this wild success from it just because, you know, they're good at what they do, they work hard and stuff. Trying to think of people that like aren't in comedy or entertainment or anything.
You mentioned your brother earlier.
Yeah.
I know you have a couple of brothers, but the one brother that was kind of pushing you, do you find him to be?
So I would say my family in general is a huge inspiration to me. Everyone is like, we're all super close, but we're all like very distinct too. I am hugely inspired by my parents. Like my dad, he works his butt off. He was the coach of like all of my sports teams growing up. So like he'd work so long, and then he'd drive straight to the game and like change in the car, and then like coach these baseball games, the basketball games. And it's just like that level of commitment for like the people that you care about is just wild. And like my mom, she was, you know, a stay-at-home mom for a while. Like she put her career on hold as a lawyer to raise kids. And I think that takes incredible courage, and for sure. You know, that's just crazy. And then both my brothers are like really successful, really hard workers. They both have these like hobbies and like side projects that they're working on, and they're always trying to get better at these things. So it's just like, it's very inspirational to see these people who I care about so much, like literally thriving, and, you know, just like taking a step back and appreciating all that they do to kind of motivate me. And obviously I'm the youngest, so like I look up to all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, not physically, because I am the tallest in the family, but
okay.
that's a point of contention between me and my brother, Nikki. But But yeah,
we'll mute that part out. Just
yeah, 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 yeah. Just for his sake. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like I just look up to all of them. Just because you know they've been the people who have shaped me into who I am the most today. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely look up to them very much.
That's good. There's so many people when we sit back and take a second to look at it that mm-hmm. really do leave a fascinating imprint in our lives.
Absolutely.
Even some that you wouldn't expect mm-hmm. in a lot of different ways and even out of tough times, man. So that's great. That's really great.
Yeah.
Joey, you have a gentle heart. With that, I always argue another big facets of the show is that gratitude's important. I think that it kind of guides us. I think that without gratitude, we are lost mm-hmm. because we lack perspective. And yep. so I think that gratitude's a huge thing. Do you find yourself living gratefully in different ways? Do you find yourself focused on gratitude in your life?
Yeah, it has been a big thing for me. It's something that I hadn't really thought about until probably this year, where I really started to like focus on the things that I'm really grateful for. Like I'll do these things where I'll just sit in my bed and I'll just sit there and just start naming off. I'll just rattle off all the things that I'm grateful for. And obviously it's just like grateful for my family and my friends and stuff like that. But then like, I really try to get down to like the small things. Like I have a comfortable bed. I have running water where I can go grab a sip of water whenever I want. And it's not going to make me sick. I have money in my bank account. I have a nice computer. You know, like all these things. It's just like,
yeah.
Like people around the world, there's like, I forget what the number is, but there's like a billion people who don't have access to just running water. And it's just an like,
alarming amount.
It yeah. is. And it's, so it's like if we're not focusing on that and altering our perspective and being like, we like really should be grateful for the things that we have. Like we complain a lot as a society, I think. And it's definitely a point where I'm like, I don't want to be on social media all that much, just cause like there's a lot of negativity there. But like, I think if we all just start practicing to be grateful for the things that we have and the people in our lives and everything, I think the world would be a much better place. But I think everyone's just kind of tuned out to that or mm-hmm. something. Yeah.
Yeah, because everyone's so entrenched in themselves, you know, mm-hmm. So any sense, and we've been taught to be completely comfortable. So if you feel any discomfort, you're going to complain about it and then
yeah,
rip the rest of it to shreds. So
yeah,
I spent 2 weeks in Jamaica about mm-hmm. 2 years ago, and it wasn't in Montego Bay nor Kingston, which are two of the more touristy. I mean, Montego's a resort.
Yeah.
It was on the inner parts of the island, and I was having a conversation with these women one day, and one woman said like, oh, I have my doctor's appointment later, and she's like, I gotta drink the juice. And the other lady's like, oh, you know, good luck, whatever. And I'm like, what juice are you talking yeah. about? And she's like, you don't drink the juice? I'm like, I don't know, like what's the juice?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, and the other lady understood why I was asking. You kind of stand out, you know, they know, obviously not from Jamaica.
Yeah.
So the lady's like, yeah, so when we drink our water, it's filled with these parasites and these like things that are the bacteria and the parasites that are obviously negatively affecting their stomachs. And so they're supposed to go every 6 months, like we would to the dentist, but to go drink this juice to kill off and get rid of all these negative things that are in your body from the water. And I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
That is crazy, you know? That I'll never forget that. I can picture the whole conversation, picture where we were and the two women, like as clear as can be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's I was always big on gratitude, but that one always stands out to me as like, I mean, that is, they don't think twice about going to the doctor to drink this concoction that kills off parasites. If you get a parasite here, you got to be in the minority. I mean, people don't have parasites in their stomachs from the water that we drink.
No.
You know, so we are quite fortunate.
Bare
bones up for sure.
Yeah, like, and it's crazy that that's just a moment where like you're in Jamaica, you're just talking to these women, and then turns out to be like one of the more important conversations that you've took part in your entire life. Like, just cause like it forces you to like wake up. You're just like, okay, like I did not realize how different our lives are from like other people like that. So yeah, that's really wild. And that's an awesome experience to have under your belt. And, you know, it allows you to, you know, get wiser and, you know, just it pushes you to be a better person too.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, for sure. So your mindfulness kind of exercise where you like start listing things off, I think that's awesome. One, I always push people to, I'm like, do that. Like, what a cool thing.
Yeah.
You're speaking about it. I mean, imagine like if we sat there and listed everything off, we could be there for a week nonstop.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's cool. I'm glad that you have such an appreciation for gratitude and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
On the contrary, another question I think is worth considering is like, do you have any regrets so far in your short-lived life? Do you have any regrets or any decisions where you would go back and change them? Or maybe not, but maybe you regret nonetheless.
I would say a little bit. I think I probably could have done a better job at reaching out and trying to befriend more people growing up, especially like, I guess not people that were bullied, but just like kind of like the people who just never really seemed to have a lot of friends or whatever. I feel like I could have done a better job at that. Just being kinder. That's something that bothers me a lot, is just like in high school, I don't know, like I feel like a totally different person than when I was in high school. Like I you know, was trying to be a good person in high school. I think I, you know, I did a pretty good job, but like there's just some moments that stick out in my mind where I'm just like, ah, man, like I really could have done better if I knew what I know today, I guess. So I guess just treating people with compassion is a big thing that I try to do all the time now. Like if I go out to a restaurant and I'm with people who like don't say thank you when the waiter brings the meal, I'm just like, hold up, wait, you're not going to be like nice to the waiter right now. Like, what are we doing here? Like, just be nice to people. So I think that's a big regret, is just not really doing all that I can to make sure everyone felt welcomed in high school. 'Cause high school is a tough time too. Like just like a lot of people are trying to figure themselves out. And, you know, I feel like I could have been, could have lent a hand a little bit more, but
look what you took from it. That's a great mm-hmm. lesson that you took from it, to treat people with compassion, to have that eye to be aware of your surroundings enough to recognize like, hey, maybe I should chat with this person or something to that effect.
Yeah, right. And I think what does kind of bring me out of the pits of like being like mad at myself for not doing these things, like, because there's very specific scenarios where I can remember where like I could have done more. But like what kind of brings me out of that is just like, but like the fact that you're thinking about it now and you are learning from it now is like the biggest thing that you could be doing. It's just like, if I was sitting here and I just was like, there's nothing I could do, and then just kept acting the same way, it's just like, what, like that doesn't help anybody. So yeah, I do kind of like take a step back. I'm like, okay, well, at least you recognize that behavior and you're doing everything you can to change that.
Isn't it wild too? Like, why is it always that the regrets that we have are the things that we didn't do?
Yeah.
Or like the missed opportunities. It's never like I don't look back at mine the same way. And I'm not like, well, it's not that I like did this and I regret that for me. And you just said the same thing. It's always like, I look back and it's things that I didn't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. It must be like, maybe because like as humans, maybe we're like just naturally curious or something. And we're just like, we want to know what would have happened if we actually did that thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
that's great, right.
That's a great point though. I've never really thought of it that way. Like it always is things that I didn't do. Like I could have done more, but I didn't. So yeah, that's really interesting. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird because the definition of regret, the way it comes to mind is like, oh, I did this and I wish I didn't. But it's not. It's always the opposite.
It's always the opposite. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of weird, but
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So that's a great lesson there. Is there anything that you would tell someone maybe in your field who maybe is just starting off, maybe someone who's into even just basic marketing, or maybe someone who's thinking about starting and taking that initial step in some of the creativity, whether it's a band, whether it's creating content, whether it's putting themselves out there for whatever their artist field is.
Yeah.
what would you let them know? Because you're you're looking like it's the downer, right? You're almost over
there. We're traversing through the mountains right now, and we're at the peak, and I think we're gonna start coasting and really get some momentum going. I would say, first of all, just don't be afraid to fail. Like, just fail. Like, the amount of times, like, I get so stressed out when I'm like not doing good at something or like I'm failing. But like the things that I learned, like looking back, even like over the past like 9 months after, like since I've been doing this TikTok thing, is like the things that I've learned from all the failures is just like, it's opened my mind so much more. So just fail. But then also, I think you really need to do all you can to get better at what you do. Like as a musician, if you really want to make it in the music industry, you can't just play your guitar every 3 weeks, like once every 3 weeks. Like you need to be practicing. Like, if you want to be this huge figure or whatever, or you want to be successful, like you got to be good, and you got to earn it for yourself. Like, even people who find success really easily and they kind of stumble into it, like, I feel like I almost wouldn't want it to happen that way. Like if I was Lil Nas X, like, I don't think I would want to just all of a sudden be like super famous over one song. Cause like, you don't learn anything from that. Like, you don't learn.
Yeah, it's the lottery winner.
It's just a lottery winner. Like, you that's why all the lottery winners go bankrupt. Cause like, they don't learn how to handle their money when they're younger and when they're starting to compile it, and they don't invest it. And like, it's all these things that you learn along the way. So I think just constantly learning, like, it doesn't even have to be like, if you're a musician, you don't have to sit there and play your scales all the time, but like, watch a video about how to play with other musicians. Like there's so many other aspects. Or like what I did for TikTok is like, I took a writing course with this guy named Brent Forrester, who wrote for The Simpsons and King of the Hill and The Office. And he just constantly trying to learn more about this field that you're trying to go into. So yeah, that's
renowned writer, by the way.
Writer. Yeah, like, crazy resume. He hangs out with like Judd Apatow and Jim Carrey. It's just brilliant mind.
Guy's got it going on for sure.
Yeah. He's got the goods in his brain. So I took his class online, and it's really important, I think, to just constantly be in a mindset of wanting to learn more. So I guess that's my advice to people who are trying to start out is, you know, first, don't be afraid to fail. If you're trying to get famous on TikTok, or if you're trying to get famous as a musician, or whatever you're trying to do, if you're even working a 9-to-5, like, just don't be afraid to fail. You're going to fail. So just, and make sure you learn from those failures. So I would say that's a 2-step process. Is you got to fail. No, actually it's a 3-step process. You got to fail, you got to learn from that failure, and then you got to fail again, because that's the only way you're going to keep learning. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
If you want to become the master, you have to be willing to become the fool first.
Absolutely.
It's a quote by one of my favorite guys. So
yeah.
Those are good ones. The crazy thing about all of them is that if you never put yourself out there, you'll never have the opportunity to do anything. So yeah. I love that this is very tangible, very concrete evidence from you, and that is something that is very followable for anyone who's trying to do it, you know?
Yeah. And I will say that, like, there are people out there who want to put themselves out there, but they're like scared or whatever, and they're anxious about it. And like, this is coming from a person who, like, crazy anxious. Like, I would say, like, I have like high functioning anxiety, where like, I don't seem like an anxious person. Like, people tell me like, oh, you look so confident, or like whatever. I'll tell you, I am not. Like, it is very tough for me to keep posting and like be vulnerable and stuff. But you just gotta push yourself to get past that. Like, you're not gonna get anywhere by like hiding from failure. Like, you just have to put yourself out there, or else you're just gonna, you know, just keep wallowing in your sorrow and being like, again, you'll have regret of like, why didn't I do this thing? So you just gotta do it, because this is coming from a guy who's super anxious, and you know, just just got to fight through it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Fight through it. Make your way.
Yeah. Make your way. Is it, you just got to put one foot in front of the other too. Like, you don't mm-hmm. have to like expect these big things to happen. Just like take that first step. Like, if you want to post TikToks or be a musician, like take the first step of film the TikTok. Maybe don't post it, but film it. At least have it in your drafts. Like, it's there. You took that step. And then the next day you can maybe have the courage to post it or whatever. So like, yeah. it's those little steps that you just should be taking to kind of get over those fears too.
Yeah. Everything's a process. I appreciate that out of you, Joey. Everything's a process.
Yeah.
As we kind of come here to a close a little bit, Joey, do you have any other thoughts that you want to share with anyone? Anything that you want to share about yourself, you want to share to others?
I would say one of the things is just, I think as people, we just really need to focus on, I've said it 900 times during the podcast, but like, just being compassionate towards other people. Like, have you seen Ted Lasso?
I have not.
Highly recommend that show. I think you would love that show.
Thank you.
Just knowing you. It is, there's so many tidbits of like wisdom in there. And one of the biggest thing that I've gotten out of that is, there's a quote in Ted Lasso says to be curious, but not judgmental. So you can, if you see these people, like there's so many people out there that are so different from us. And like, I was just in Myrtle Beach and there were like, just like, it's like the South is just a very different place in the United States, and everyone is different, everyone has these different values. And as a kid, I would have looked at these people and been judgmental about them, like why are they like this, like why do mm-hmm. they talk like that, why do they dress like that, like why do they believe in these things? And it's just, but then like now I'm like, I'm curious about these people, like I want to know their story, because like everyone has their story, everyone has gone through tough times and has, you know, they're still kicking to live through it. And like, mm-hmm. like, I feel like everyone is so confrontational right now. And I think we need to,
oh my God, I couldn't agree more.
It's just like, we just need to really just take a step back and focus on being good to each other again. Like, we just need to reset as a culture and just like, mm-hmm. take a breather and just, we just got to be nice to each other. I think that's my big thing that stresses me about the world, is just like everyone is so mad at each other, and I just mm-hmm. wish that was not the case. So
yeah, just because you're different doesn't mean it has to be clashing, like to use the yeah. fists again, like it just, like differences don't mean clashing, it just means it is different.
Yeah, yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Mm-hmm. If everyone was curious but not judgmental, we'd be in a much better place, because it yeah there's a lot of, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble if you're judging people and mm-hmm. and you know, putting everyone in a little box and just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope that we're on. So
it is. Well, thank you, Joey. I think this has been a wonderful conversation. Anytime you want to come back on and continue, I would be delighted to have you back.
Joe, I would be absolutely delighted to join you again. This was a lot of fun. I had a good yeah. time.
Thank you. And for anyone that is listening, I commend Joey. Joey was patient with me. I had crazy things going on this morning that we're running interference here. Zoom, if you're listening, I know you are because you're recording me, Zoom. What's up with this policy? You get 40 minutes all of a sudden. I mean, what's up with that?
Yeah, Zoom, we're gonna have to write an angry email to Zoom, I think.
Yeah, right. We're gonna have to have a chat. And it's not gonna be a chat with Clark, okay? So, but this has been another episode of Chats with Clark. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and it's been an honor and a pleasure to have Joey Stewart on here with me today. If you listened and you're still with us, which I know you are, check out all of his great videos that are on TikTok. I will be putting them below. I will also be putting Joey's Instagram in the description below here. So make sure that you get in touch with him if you'd like. Make sure you're duetting his acting challenges and any other content that he's putting out there. Make sure you listen to Direwolf. I will also link them below too. Maybe their Spotify or their Apple Music, maybe both, something like that. It's a lot of good stuff that you're putting out there, Joey. My goodness, I just keep like rattling these off. Like, look at all this guy.
Long list. Yeah,
it is. That's great. If you want to be a guest on the Chats with Clark podcast, you can either message me on Instagram. You could find me anywhere, really. But the best way to do that would be to email me at chatswithclark at gmail. So again, it's just chatswithclark@gmail.com. Shoot me an email. You can hop on and be the next guest here on the Chats with Clark podcast. I would love to have you on. Joey, thanks again for being here. It's been a real delight and a pleasure.
Thank you, Joe, for having me. Appreciate it. If you're listening to this, guys, email chatswithclark@gmail.com. It was a great conversation. Good time. You will not regret it. So
thank you. I appreciate that. Signing off. This has been another Chats with Clark. Thanks for listening.